We have in this commandment an incredible, this is rather expansive, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? Oh, just love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's like, how do you go to confession and confess that one? I failed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, could you please itemize all the times when you failed to do that? No. I would never say that to you, by the way. Just full disclosure, no, I would never say that. I did one time, the first time I had someone come into me and confess that, I thought, wow. Well, that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Do you have to say anything else, you know? It doesn't cover everything, but it was a reminder to me of, hey, this is a commandment. And when we come before the Lord, gosh, I think of that as kind of like an optional extra. Like the commandments are like, don't be really bad, but be generally kind of good. that's not what he says. But actually, if you think about it in the context of what's the first commandment, Jesus says, worship the Lord alone, and then love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you think about the Ten Commandments, this is really a reference to the first one, which is worship the Lord only. Don't have any other gods. Don't worship other idols. Worship God. And in the context of what we worship, he talks about who we love. Who and what we love really shows our worship. It shows our devotion. It shows our commitment to a person or to a thing or like to maybe a sports team, right? Or whatever. It shows that's where worship happens. In the recesses of our heart, from where our love flows, from where it originates. And so he says, the Lord, worship the Lord alone. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, because we can't love God if we don't love our neighbor. And this word strength really is the one that always gets me, because it actually doesn't mean strength. Although it's good to worship God with your strength, he's not talking about hitting the gym, hitting the weights. He's not talking about bulking up and getting a lot of protein in. Although that'd be great to do at breakfast after Mass. Right? You know, we get some protein in. No, what he means is actually there's a word in Hebrew that's perfectly good word for strength. And that's not the word used here. The word used here is ma'od, and it means very, very. So like if somebody's really angry, there's a couple places in the Bible where someone's really angry, they were ma'od angry. Or very pleased with someone, God was ma'od pleased with so-and-so. It means very, very. And so to say that love God with all of your very much, he was very much, it's a Hebrew idiom, I guess, where there isn't really an exact word for it. It's so expansive and so all-inclusive that it's not narrowing it down to physical strength or mental strength. It's just saying everything, everything. There could not be a more expansive word in Hebrew than ma'od. Love the Lord your God with all of this word, all of everything, all of your, whatever you have to give. And so that expansiveness of that word, it shows us that Jesus is really wanting to take us away from one of the biggest temptations for us, that of minimalism. And I assume you know what minimalism is, I presume, but maybe if you don't, what it means is minimalism asks the question, what's the least I have to do? In this case, maybe what's the least I have to do? What's the least I can do and still go to heaven? Or what's the least I can do and still, you know, fill in the blank. For anything that we might want to do, we tend to ask, well, if I'm going to be doing something that's going to cost me something, how do I get it for less cost? Right? How do I get into heaven at the cheapest rate? What's the cheapest way to get there? What's the most cost-effective salvation plan, right? How many minutes of the week, if I go to Mass, does that mean I have to pray less? Or if I go to confession at the end of my life, right? I wait until the end to go to confession. This has been tried before. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of what Jesus says. He says, no, love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of your everything. And that's going to change the way that we see God. That's actually going to change what we desire. And to not look at salvation as though it is a, I don't know, it is something, maybe another question. What's the least I have to put in the collection basket, right? What's the least I can put in the collection basket and not feel guilty or, you know, not be, and be part of the church? God says, hey, I want you to give freely and generously. Money, time, prayer, especially time in God's word. I always talk about that. Give generously on your Sunday. This is the Lord's day. And here you are at Mass. Here you are at church. You know you could be making money right now. You're losing money right now. Actually, you're not. But truly, you're making a sacrifice to be here. Are you loving God? Is that because you're being drawn into loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And the answer is yes. It's just a matter of like, well, how in love with the Lord am I? And am I ready to be drawn deeper? This love, we know it's something that we come to participate in because God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. And He invites us into a relationship through His Son Jesus. He invites us into a relationship of intimate love, of being known by the other person and knowing that other person, that is supposed to draw us past petty questions about how much or how little or what do I have to do, and into the deeper questions of what do I really have to do? What is the Lord really desiring for me? And what happens when we start to love the Lord with everything, with more and more, is we start to desire Him with more and more. We start to want to give Him more and more. We approach a lot of things in this life with a mindset of, how do I be the best at this? How do I give the most I can? How do I show my love for this loved one of mine as clearly as I can? And that's what the Lord wants us, how the Lord, He wants us to approach Him and His kingdom as well. The idea, one of the analogies that's constantly in Scripture is the analogy of sports. It's the analogy of sports. Now, I don't know what you've done, what you've sacrificed personally in your own sports history, if you have a sports history, but I assume a lot of you do. I mean, this is America. Most of us played some kind of a high school sport, or even if we didn't, maybe you've made sacrifices for like non-official. So one of the, capture the flag is one of the things I've laid down a little bit of sacrifice, okay? This was in the seminary, and you know, I don't want to be graphic, but I don't know how else to talk about this topic. So I know we're going to eat breakfast later, but when you're pushing yourself as hard as you can, and you're really out of shape, but you're getting in shape, sometimes you throw up if you run a lot. So like, sorry, but that's where this is going. So I had that experience a little bit in high school basketball. Some guys, they threw up and then they passed out. And then we called the doctor, but they were okay. Some guys just ate too much before practice. I mean, there was a lot of that too. But one of the guys running our conditioning camp was he played basketball for U of M. It was Dugan Fife. Some of you remember him. And he said, don't make fun of that guy who just threw up. He is giving everything that he's giving his all. If you were, you'd be doing what he's doing right now. And I was like, oh, man. I don't trust you because you're wearing a Michigan shirt. I know. I remember Dugan Fife. As a kid, I was like, Dugan Fife hit another three-pointer. This is the worst. And now he's like conditioning us. He also taught me how to shoot. He tried to teach me how to shoot a basketball. I mean, that's asterisk there. And that was part of the deal. You give everything that you have. If you can't keep up, you better be giving everything. If you can't keep up with all the running. And that's part of the sacrifice for what? For a game, right? I did the same thing playing capture the flag. But it was in the seminary, and we were playing against the college seminarians, and we were like the grad school seminarians, and so we absolutely had to win. I was willing to sacrifice everything for that win. And yeah, so there was vomit there too. And I didn't regret it because I was like, hey, we won. I got the flag, we won. And everybody was just kind of horrified as I'm, you know, in the middle of the grass. And I thought, well, if you didn't want to win, why are you here? Well, maybe you've never done that with sports. Or maybe you have. But there's a lot of people willing to do that for sports, okay? There's a lot of people willing to wake up at 5 a.m. to do a workout every day. There's a lot of people willing to eat broccoli and chicken for weeks on end to look good and feel good. There's a lot of people willing to forego alcohol or forego make all kinds of sacrifices, whether it's for sports or for health or whatever. We make all kinds of sacrifices. We do all kinds of things when we get really intense. I won't even go into deer hunting, but you know, there's all kinds of things that we can do. Now, what's the most intense thing you've suffered because of your love for God? What's the most intense physical symptom that you have experienced? Maybe it's considerable. What's the most intense schedule that you have endured? Maybe you're right in the middle of it, you know, maybe. But have you endured an intense schedule? Intense, maybe physical, maybe mental. Maybe sometimes it's even like just other people just saying, why are you doing this? Are you crazy? And you still do it. Because you love God. You just want God. I don't want to say the Lord is, he's not inviting us to necessarily the same manifestation. But the point is taken what St. Paul says in Scripture. There's people who beat themselves. They beat their bodies. He doesn't mean like they whip themselves, but they run the race. But they beat their bodies, meaning they cause a lot of physical pain, to win a perishable crown for this wreath of flowers. But we do it for an imperishable crown because we do it for him. And he's inviting us into this. It's this, in Scripture, we see this invitation into God is my all and his kingdom is my desire. And I'm going to love him with all that I have. And this is why I know that Navy SEALs, apparently they wake up at 4:30 in the morning. That's what YouTube says. I don't know. And I realize these guys, they're a lot harder than me. And they're doing something for a passing reality. Not that it's unimportant, but I'm doing something for an eternal reality that couldn't be more important. Should I really be giving less? Is what you're doing really less important when you're loving God and building his kingdom than anything? No, there couldn't be anything more important. But more than that, as we give more and more to the Lord, we experience it actually that it becomes more and more freedom. It's this great joy and freedom in loving him and delighting in him. The promise here is a long life. It's also true that just the fullness of life comes from delighting in the Lord. And so I would actually invite you, this is kind of like a homework assignment. That sounds odd, but just a suggestion in something that as we give more to the Lord, we actually delight in him more, but we don't take enough time to delight in the Lord. This is Sunday, which is why we're here. And it's the Lord's Day. And it's his day all day long. And so I want to invite you to take half an hour today and do nothing except delight in the Lord. Now, however you can do that, maybe you're like, well, I probably should have done that at 4:30 a.m. this morning, Father. But of all days, today would be the day, I mean, you get an extra hour, right? So just to do nothing. I prefer to do this in an easy chair with music, sometimes coffee, and the Bible. And it's just, Lord, thank you that you have a, thank you for you. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for every good thing. You're worthy of all that I have and I delight in you. And the more that we do that, and I did that last Monday. I just sat there. I didn't try to pray a rosary. I didn't try to hear God say anything to me. I just said, Lord, thank you. It was a lot of gratitude and a lot of delighting in him. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Not for this or that, but for you and for heaven. Man, it was so good. It was so good. And that changes our hearts. It changes our desires. The Lord is absolutely in the business of changing our desires and helping us to fall in love with him, who alone can fulfill that longing for love for which we were all made.